Okay. Anyways, so I got two agendas today. So going on the.
We'll set you up somewhere right there.
I have no idea. What are you doing, Jack? So I have two agendas for today. Since yesterday, I don't know if all of you guys know, yesterday was Rochlingman, was your site. Okay? So I want to get into talking about a certain medrash about Rochlingman, but before that, I want to, we were talking about a little bit about Avraham Avinu, what it meant to be talking about Avraham Avinu. So let's come to try to understand something, right? There's a very, very interesting maisa that happened at the beginning of the Chief Parsha, and we'll come to understand it through a Gemara. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara in the end of Chagiga, the last half of Chagiga, and the Chavzayin of Marav says, HaMizbeach ate. Mizbeach was made of wood. Shloisha amas gavoa, three amas high. V'orchu shtayim amas, and its length was two amas. U'miktzayis of low, and it had a border around it. V'orchu v'kiros of eight, and its length and its poles were made of
wood.
V'idaber Eli zeh shulchan asher l'pnei Hashem, and right, and it was and he spoke to me. This is the shulchan that is before Hashem. Gemara asks, Pasach b'mizbeach v'siim b'shulchan. Wait, what are we talking about over here? Are we talking about the Mizbeach, or are we talking about the Shulchan? Which one are we talking about? Right, you know that there were two Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, two Kelim in the Mishkan. One was the Mizbeach, right, that's where all the offerings and Karbanos were brought, and one was the Shulchan. The Shulchan is where? What went on the Shulchan?
The Lechem Aponim.
Lechem Aponim. You guys know what the Lechem Aponim were? You can say no, it's okay. You don't know what the Lechem Aponim were? Lechem Aponim were that every single week, right, on Friday, Erev Shabbos, the Kohanim would come and they would place the Lechem Aponim. Lechem Aponim was special bread that was cooked. Can we have a pen?
Yes, okay. Pencil. There is lead in the pencil.
Okay, and it was made to look like this shape, which is a kind of pretty hard challah, you know, shape to make.
Oh, you forgot that whole self-holding thing,
right?
Yes. How deep?
Deep. Better for you. Okay? Better? A little bit?
Same thing.
Whatever. Okay, how wide was the top? I don't know, but it was basically this is the shape. Okay? And
I'm better.
Problem with recording with your phone. So basically that was the shape, and there was a miracle that happened every single week is they would leave it for an entire week out on the Shulchan. The Shulchan had 12 tables, six side by side, right? And they would have 12 lechem aponim that would go to the Kohanim at the end of the week. Now, have any of you guys ever eaten bread that's been sitting outside for an entire week?
You can't.
It's delicious.
You can't. It's stale. However, this bread was still steaming as if it had just been taken out of the oven 1 week later, sitting on the Shulchan.
Why?
Right, that was a miracle. Yeah, it was a miracle that happened.
What's the first time?
What?
For what reason did I
could take it?
It's a miracle. It says, during the times of the Regalim, the Kohanim would pick up the Shulchan and bring it out into the Hamun Am, where everybody came to, right, into the Ezra Yisrael, where everybody was sitting there waiting, and show all the Klai, so the steaming bread, Lechem Aponim, that was sitting on the Shulchan. Right? Kisiduro Kach Soko, like it was placed on, that's how it was taken off a week later.
Is that because there's not one at the time, or just because there was
Because there were miracles that happened every single day in the Beit HaMikdash.
And so once they would take it out of the
No, it wouldn't go out of the basement. It would go to the Ezra Yisrael. Yeah. Ezra Yisrael was the courtyard.
So go out of the Heichal.
So right,
they took it out when
Heichal.
No, there was still always a what's it called? There were 10 miracles that happened constantly. Look at the Mishnah. There were 10 miracles that happened constantly in the Beit HaMikdash. Proved one of them was the fact that there was a constant fire burning on the Mizbeach. Okay, it was never put out. You were not allowed to put that fire out. Now, fire produces what? Smoke, right? A pillar of smoke that came up from the Beis HaMikdash. The pillar of smoke that came up from the Beis HaMikdash, no matter how hard the wind blew, never moved. It went straight up, always.
Yeah.
Right? Could have been a hurricane in the middle of winter. You guys, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided that we don't need winter yet. It's still summertime. But no matter how hard the wind can blow pretty hard in Eretz Yisrael. If you don't have a really good umbrella, you will go through many of them here.
Umbrella?
Yeah. You know, it like flips them in half, breaks them in two.
An umbrella.
Because it rains sometimes.
Does it?
Yeah, it rained that
Friday. You know? So fine. Anyway, so which one is the part we're talking about? The Gemara asks, Pasach b'mizbeach v'siim b'shulchan. It started talking about the mizbeach and ended up with the shulchan. Which one is it? So Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish, the Amr Tavaya. Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish gave the same answer to this question. B'zman shebeis hamikdash kayem mizbeach mechaper el ha'adam. During the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash is around, if you did not bear, what do you do to get forgiven? you bring a carbon. You use them as bech. Achshav. But nowadays, that we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, so how do we get a kapara? How do we get atoned for our averus?
Davening.
What? Davening. Nope, that's not what the Gemara is about to say.
Staka?
Staka. Nope, that's not what the Gemara is about to say. Anybody else?
Shuba.
It says, Shulchanoi shel adam mechaper alav. Your shulchan, your table, in your house, is mechaper for you. But how is that? How is the table mechaper for you? You know, you guys ever hear, I don't know if you're growing up, you ever hear that if you're sitting on a table, all of a sudden your teacher walks in the room and goes, don't sit on the table, the table's done to Mizbeach. Right? So actually, he's got a little warm. It's not exactly what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that your shulchan in your house, your table where you eat, is mechaper on a person. Now, how do you do that?
Drinking.
How does that work? Hmm?
You drink.
You drink. How does that, how is it mechaper your avonus, your averus?
I don't know, I just... That's what you do at your table.
That's what I do at my table. How would you know that you've never sat at my table?
At Malava Masa.
You weren't sitting at the table. Just kidding. Right? And did you see me drink? No. Because I didn't.
You don't.
Wait,
you
know,
that's not what I said. That's not what I said.
You don't drink at all?
I water? Do drink. I have the same one shot of alcohol every single Shabbos that I have. No matter how much alcohol goes down on my table.
And water.
Except for one day out of the year.
Pardon.
Shot
of what?
Shot of what?
Yeah.
Depends on what I have in the cabinet. Yeah, there's choices.
Yeah.
It depends on the mood. For me.
Not Blue Label.
No. I actually do not like Blue Label at all.
Why not?
All right, we're going to get into this discussion. So, how is a person machaper vis-a-vis his table? Okay, so... As always, whenever you learn any Gemara, whether it be a Gadat Torah, whether it be a regular Gemara, the first person you look at is Rashi. Rashi says something unbelievable over here. So Rashi says, right, on the Rashi that says, there we go, Shulchan u'mechaper, I love that your Shulchan u'mechaper, v'achnosas orchem. By doing the mitzvah of achnosas orchem, so therefore your Shulchan is mechaper for all of your averus. Now how does that work? What, I let somebody come into my house, 45 guys, a Matzah Yom Kippur, right, with a few beers to go around, and all of a sudden, right, all of a sudden all my Averis go out the window?
Well, no, because it was just Yom Kippur.
So?
So you get to bank them.
All two of them that you probably done when Yom Kippur ended.
Saying, how does Achmos HaZorchim work? Now,
smoke.
To add a little bit of a question to this week's Parsha, from this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha had a very, very famous incident that happens with Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu does the bris milah on himself, and he's sitting out, pining for guests to come, waiting for guests to come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the sun out, right, in its hottest, and go outside, you see how that feels like, in its hottest, beating, you know, scorching summer day. And Avraham Avinu is still waiting. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? Because he didn't want guests to come to bother Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was an invalid. He was an invalid. Right? He was sick. Third day after your bris milah, right? Baruch Hashem, none of us are that old to remember it. I'm sure it was a pretty traumatic experience to begin with. So Avraham Avinu still wanted guests to come. So he was sitting there waiting out there. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Shekhinah came down to visit Avraham Avinu. And was doing Bikur Cholin. And all of a sudden, Avraham Avinu sees off in the distance three people coming down the road.
What do you make it? So hot
because he saw that Avraham Avinu still wanted to do the mitzvah so badly that he was sitting outside waiting to do it, right, sitting there in the heat. And therefore, what happens next when Avraham sees those three people?
He made it.
He gets up to meet to greet them.
Just for him.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And he made it hot in the whole city.
If other people didn't live there, that wouldn't have helped Avraham Avinu so much, right? Because if nobody else lived there, then nobody would come around to have guests, right? To be guests. So, no, that actually is the whole point. The whole point is that the world revolves around Talmud Chachamim. As much as we don't see it, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bend an entire world just for a Talmud Chachamim. You know, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu came before Kriyas Yamsuf, so there's this whole big debate about whether or not the Yamsuf should split. Correct? Right? Are the Jews worthy? Aren't the Jews worthy? Should the Yamsuf split? So, the Gemara brings down a Maisa that Rav Pinchas ben Yair, who was Rav Shimon bar Yochai's father-in-law, once had to do a mitzvah of pigeon shvuim, and he came to the Jordan River in the middle of the wintertime when the Jordan was flooded. And he couldn't get past, he couldn't swim past. So he just sat there, and all of a sudden the Jordan split for him. And he walked through. Swear to him, there was no debate, no back and forth. Why is it? So that's the question, why? If the whole Klai Yisrael couldn't get the... Because the whole point is, if Moshe Rabbeinu came before himself to have the sea split, that's not a problem. Of course the sea was for Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu is not big enough tzaddik. The whole world revolves around the tzaddik. The problem was that Moshe Rabbeinu was carrying with him 600,000 members of Klai Yisrael that weren't necessarily holding where they should have been holding in life. We know that the Jews in Egypt didn't necessarily keep all the mitzvahs that they should have kept. They were on the Mount Shari Tumah. They fell into the 49th level of Tumah. So therefore, now, when Moshe Rabbeinu was tagging along with all these people, so there was this whole debate. But for Pinchas Ben Yair, who was by himself, such a big tzaddik, no, the sea split. Yeah, Kodesh Baruch Hu revolves the world around tzaddikim. Right? Because that's who the world was created for. Right? For people to become and live up to their potential. Now, so, I'm going to sitting there waiting. Now all of a sudden, the Shekhinah is visiting him, right? You would think that if the President of the United States of America, maybe not this President, but a different President of the United States of America, was visiting you, right? And all of a sudden you see your friend, you know, Jimmy, walking down the street. Would you say, sorry, Mr. President, and I got to talk to Jimmy. What? Depends what Jimmy was holding.
Avi.
Right?
What? Avi just made a racist comment. No.
It's all here. But
it was okay. Really funny.
Anyways,
Okay.
So I'm Avinu, what is I'm Avinu doing? He sees these three people walking down, and all of a sudden he gets up, he says, hold on a second, God, I gotta go. And he runs out to greet these three guests, and to bring them into his house. Now who are these guests? So when he brings the guests into his house, he makes them wash their feet. Why? Because the Medrash says that Avram Avinu was worried because they were Arabs, they had dressed up like Arabs. Right, that they worshipped the dust of their feet. So who were these people? They weren't great people. They were people who worshipped idolatry. That Avraham Avinu said to the Shekhinah, sorry, I gotta go. I gotta do Achas Orchim. And so much as the Medrash says, Gedolah Achnas is Orchim Yosemi Kabbalos Pnei Shekhinah. That greater is the mitzvah of Achnas Orchim even in talking to God. Because you see from Avraham's actions that obviously Achnas Orchim was greater than talking to God. Now, how do we understand that? How can it be? How can it be that the mitzvah of Achnas Zarechim is greater than talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If all mitzvahs are there, right, to become connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I would think the biggest connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to you, right? You would think. Right? So how is Achnas Zarechim greater? You guys tell me.
It's not.
What the mitzvah says it is.
It's making a Kiddush Hashem Barabim.
Making a Kiddush Hashem Barabim. Anybody else?
When you have a one-on-one with God, it's not spreading the Pnei Hashchina around.
Yes. Are we saying it's greater, or are we saying that he was Osek in that mitzvah?
No, it says Gedola. It's greater. He wasn't Osek in it. Nobody was around.
No, but his life was Osek in that mitzvah.
It says Gedola Chazorcham Yosemi Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina. Otherwise, you can say, you know, mitzvah, you know, your Osek in mitzvah, you put them in a mitzvah, could use a lashon like that. It doesn't say that. It says Gedola Chazorcham. So the concept is like this. The concept is that why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? On what purpose? For us to learn Torah. Why did God need us to learn Torah?
For us, not for him.
For us. Okay, that's a great line, but like, what does that mean? Why did God create the world? Elijah, why did God create the world? I was bored. Okay, Elazar got the great... You know, when I was growing up, there was a Robin Williams... you know who Robin Williams is?
Yeah.
Robin Williams is a comedian. He's actually a very funny comedian. Okay, messed up in the head, though. Okay? And basically, Robin Williams had this whole, you know, skit about how God is a stoner. Okay? He's like, of course, because guess what he does all day. Right? That and
that's tough. Where it comes
right? He goes, he's like, yo, man. Check it. I got a great idea. I'm going to create a world. Right? I mean, come on. Get serious. When you see God ran out of channels on cable, all of a sudden, like, there's nothing to watch. Okay, nothing to watch tonight, honey. So I think I'm going to go create the world. I mean, come on. Seriously. Why did God create the world? He wasn't bored. God is perfect, right? Perfection means boredom comes from an imperfection. You've got nothing to do. You're bored. So why did God create the world? Come on, JEC, let's go. Let's see where all those thousands of dollars of education went for.
Right.
What?
He wanted to, Derech Hashem, the Ramchal says, that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world because he wanted to be Ma'ativ Tov.
But we're talking about this Nazareth open.
What does that mean? What does that mean? Yeah, we talk about this Nazareth open.
Because God, because Hashem wants to,
what?
Hashem wants to give us the ultimate pleasure, but we have
so,
to...
So let's boil it down, right? The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Olam Chesed Yibaneh. God created the world to do one thing and one thing alone, to give. Right? God is the ultimate giver. God has everything, never will be missing anything. Therefore, God inherently gives. Okay? What? You don't get that?
What?
Let me explain this to you, Adam, okay? Adam, let me explain it. I'm going to explain it to you, okay? If I come to you and I ask you for $100, not borrow, not nothing, can I please have $100? What would you say to me?
Totally pay you back.
What's your...
Be honest. No, just be honest. What would you say to me?
They know I would never do
it. I'd say, I want $100 to go buy food in the Makola.
Definitely true.
No, why not?
I earned it. I can.
And therefore, what? Why not?
It's not yours to give.
No, it's not that it's not yours. It is yours. You earned it. It's yours. And therefore, if you give it to me, if you give it to me, then, and you don't, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is a very human feeling. Humans don't give. Why? Because we're always afraid that we're going to be lacking by giving. We give and give and give up until the point where we think that we might be lacking, right? Because we have this whole concept called self-preservation. We want to, right? There's numero uno. He comes first.
Doesn't Halakha, though, like, say that you're not supposed to give more than Chamesh? So
that's a different story, okay?
I think when it's that...
That's because Judaism doesn't believe in communism. Not everybody has to be equal. Okay? We need Ashirim, and we need Aniyim. Mm-hmm. Okay? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you money for a reason, not to be Mevazavid. And by the way, Chomesh only goes up until other things. But Talmud Torah you can spend as much money on.
I could, like, sign Tekhodl and...
And Yeshivas and everything, all the wazir.
Well,
as much as you want. Yeah. Right?
That'd be wonderful.
Hope the rabbis don't make so much money. Anyways, but, okay?
Yeah.
To not to give is a human characteristic. But there's one little difference between God and us. No matter how much God gives, God is never missing anything. God can give and give and give and give and give and never be missing anything. The bank account didn't lower, right? It didn't go from one with all the zeros to one and then a 99 at the end, right? Mm-hmm. It's all still there. Right? Therefore, it's not the fact that God wants to give or God needs to give. That is the godly characteristic more than any other characteristic out there is that God gives. Because God is the ultimate giver. Because God never lacks.
Why?
As I said, it's not the fact that there should be a reason. That is what God's characteristic is. And I'll prove it to you.
Is that
right? What?
Maybe give too much.
Well, that's why God gives ultimately. God doesn't give you. I mean, it's not like me that when my kids beg and beg and beg and beg for candy, I just give them more and more candy, and then they'll end up throwing up, which is not good for them. That's why sometimes things happen in our lives which don't seem good, but they might be good if you look at it from an ultimate perspective. Right? Because God's giving is always giving. I mean, it's ultimate chesed. It's not necessarily the chesed through our small
it's pure
eyes.
Giving.
Right? That's why, by the way, God, if you think about things in the world, human beings are the most helpless animal on the face of this planet. You take a baby lion a day old, you put it into the jungle, and it's going to survive. It's got all the computing capabilities up there in its brain to teach it how to be a lion without its mother. You take a day old great white shark, you pop it into the sea, right, set it off on its own ways, it's going to eat, right, feed, and be merry. You take a baby, human baby, for, you know, not even a human baby. You take a human 12-year-old, take a human 15-year-old, even, and you put them out into the forest alone. Is he going to survive?
No.
I would.
Right. A lizard leaf. Man of the apes. But seriously, no, I'm sorry. No wolf mother is going to come and feed you. I'm sorry. She'll eat you.
Romeo.
Right? There's no Mowgli over here. It's not, you know,
what?
It's not happening.
Is that real?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Wolves do not raise children, human babies. They eat human babies if they get the chance. Okay? Oh, you watch one man versus wild. So now I'm the expert over here. Let's see you drink out of an animal's liver, okay, buddy? Right? I don't think you'd even make it.
That's crazy.
During a live conference.
But anyway. Okay, but you're not him, and I guarantee you if you were to put him out into the wild at age 15, he also would have died. He learned his skills much later in life. Why do you think human beings, more than any other creature on the face of this planet, has the longest gestation period, has the longest, right, helpless period out of any other creature in the world? The reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach the parents how to give. When you're a parent, you'll realize that that's a situation where you give and you give and you give and you never get back. You never get back.
Until you're old and then back.
No. Because no matter how much you can give back to your parents, it's nothing compared to what they gave to you. Nothing. Not even the most minute fraction of anything. Right? And besides the fact that most people just like dump their old parents into old age homes.
That means you have to love your parents no matter what they did, no matter what.
The Gemara says in Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Amud Beis that if your parents walk over to you and they tear your clothing and spit in your face in the middle of the shuk, middle of the marketplace, you still have to give them cover. And I can guarantee you that after teaching in Nayako for many years, I have met some pretty messed up parents.
Abuse.
Yes, everything. At the end of the day, you have to give them honor. Yeah, because in the end of it, and I trust me, I don't know what your family situation is. I'm just saying, I don't know. What I'm saying is that I've met kids that their parents have done very, very horrible things to them. Okay? But on the other hand, in the end of the day, you don't have a choice. You have to give them cover. Doesn't mean you have to live with them. Doesn't mean that you have to call them and speak to them all the time. Doesn't mean any of that stuff. It means that when you are around them, you have to give them honor. Okay? You have to give them honor. I'm saying the Gemara goes through different things. Okay? But in most scenarios, as much as we gripe about our parents, in the end of the day, if we really thought about how much our parents give to us and how much really it shouldn't be coming to us, it's actually just a gift, right? Right? You'd be much happier off.
What if it was an accident?
What, you were an accident?
Yeah, like, it was an accident. Like, they couldn't meet
The question is what they did after. They gave you up for adoption right away?
No, they kept you.
Let's say to the kids what they do.
So that, well, that is the very, very questionable case.
Yeah, okay.
What?
No, they gave you away right after.
So I'm saying, so there's a machlokes whether or not you have to actually give your adopt. There is actually a big halachic question about whether or not a child's adoptive mother, right, is there issur of yichud or not. I mean, because normally you with any other female besides for your mother and sister and grandmother are, there's an issur yichud. There is a question in halacha about whether or not a child who was raised by not a biological mother, however a surrogate mother, whether or not there is an issur yichud or not. That's a halachic debate which we're not getting into right now. Right, the same halachic debate would apply to that question also. If your parents gave you up and day one, and they never make it to you, I believe that the halacha is that you still have to give them cover. You can't do any of the negative things against them. However, that again, so the question then remains, then goes, do you have to give as much cover to your adoptive parents? That all, you know, a person has to give, a person, again, that all plays into things. Right? I'm saying these are all halacha questions. It's all brought up in Shulchan Aruch. Okay? If you want to learn how to keep it of aim, it's actually a pretty scary siman to learn. It's a pretty scary siman to learn, because when you start to realize how much you owe your parents and how much you don't do, it's a pretty scary thing. Actually, there's a Rashi in Kiddushin that says that but lucky is the person who does not have parents. That's the line of the Gemara. The Gemara says that lucky is a... One second, listen to how Rashi explains that line. Why is it lucky? Right? Is because, Rashi explains, because a person is chayiv in kibud av ve'eim, and it is e'efshar, it is impossible to give your parents as much honor as you are required to give them, and you're going to get punished for every iota of cover that you don't give them.
Okay. So this means we're automatically getting punished.
Yeah,
basically, it means that you have to come to recognize how great your parents are.
Shiva.
That's true, but not even tshuva. But the whole point is that when we look at our parents' relationships, we grow up in American society where we think everything's coming to us. Well, Jimmy has an allowance, so I should have an allowance. Right? Jimmy has a car, I should have a car. He got a Lexus, why don't he buy me a Jeep Grand Cherokee? We think that things are coming to us just because somebody else had it, so our parents have to live up to that scale. And little do we know that our parents could have said to us at age 13, okay, you're a man now. Go make it on your own. My father came to America from Hungary when he was 15 years old with absolutely nothing. And he supported himself. He supported himself. He put himself through high school. He put himself through college. He put himself through medical school. He did everything. And he could have said to me at 15 years old, go get a job. Right? He could have, but he didn't. So therefore, every single thing that he did to me after that day, or after when I became Bar Mitzvah, was chesed. It was a freebie. I didn't deserve it. I didn't do anything for it. I didn't, right? It wasn't my GLE. If we started to recognize that, then we start to realize how much and how great our parents do for us. And even when they say no to us, right? How many of us grew up in a society where our parents couldn't say no to us, right? Because the second they say no to you, you throw a temper tantrum and you throw things down and you throw things out the window. You say, you don't love me. I'm going to move in with Jimmy's family. They love me, right? You know, we know the story because everybody did it. You like pretend to run out of your house and run away and you hide behind the back gate, right? Waiting for your father to come like, oh my God, maybe they really don't want me. Nobody's coming out to get me, right? Right? We heard all these stories, right? I'm sure plenty of people in this room have. I'm sure plenty of people in this room have tried it. Okay. The whole point is that if we came to the realization about how much of our parents, what they give us, is absolute chesed, and it's not magia us one bit, we treat our parents much differently, much much differently. But anyways, the whole reason why God created us is being absolutely helpless. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach us how to give. He wanted to teach parents how to give. Because giving is the ultimate characteristic. That is the godly characteristic. That's the characteristic which HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to create the world. Okay? Now, if that's true, the reason why Hachnasas Arachim is greater than Kabbalas Pnei Ashchina is because when I talk to God, so God is talking to me. When I do Achnasas Arachim, I'm acting like God, and I become God's partner. So it's not that God is now coming in to speak to me, but I'm working with God. I elevate myself to a different madriga. I'm on a higher madriga than talking to God. Because just like God does Achnasas Arachim, right? Everything here around us is owned by God, correct? And because Baruch Hu is machnes us into his world. He brings into his world and he provides for us. So too when I do that fact, so I become God's partner. So inherently, by doing our first Arachim, it's even greater than talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because I'm on my Drago with HaKadosh Baruch Hu now. I'm working with him. And therefore, that's also why all of my Averis are forgiven. You guys ever hear before that when you get married, the day you get married, all your Averis are forgiven?
Yeah.
You ever wonder why? Was it like a freebie? Here, you're about to go through hell. You're getting married here. You know, like, here God says, I want to sleep clean. You know, don't say I don't do anything for you. But seriously, why all of a sudden a chassan gets his slate clean? So Chazal tell us, the Medrash says, the concept is because it's actually more people than a chassan. Mentions a few people. Mentions actually somebody who's only the gedula also, somebody who goes to a different level, meaning if a person was a Kohen Hedger, he becomes a Kohen Gadol, all his Averis are clean. If a person wasn't a Rosh Yeshiva before, becomes a Rosh Yeshiva, all his Averis are clean. Why? It's because somebody who takes upon himself more responsibility. He's now responsible for more things, so he's elevated himself in the world. He's become a different person. He's taken on more to himself.
Wait, that's for Rosh Yeshiva also?
Yeah.
Someone's on their deathbed, why doesn't someone come in and like make him
a Rosh Yeshiva?
Yeah.
I don't know if it works that way. Let me just say, I don't know. I don't know if it works that way.
If he has a set mom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him here for, then make him Rosh Yeshiva, it's like, fine, he has like 30 seconds
who
left.
Who in the world knows how much time they have here?
No, I'm saying, like, right now we know. I'm saying, Lamaise, even if you would,
what, the good doctors tell him?
No, not the doctors tell him. God has a clock up here. That's, like,
how... Yeah, but nobody knows what that clock is.
No, right, but I'm saying, even if it would be mechaper to becoming a Rosh Hashiva, so Lamaisi still has the same, like, the objective amount of time upstairs.
There's also a vidui for...
I mean, a vidui gadol before you die, but that's halavai, you should be zoked to actually have
so
brains to actually say it before you die.
You said, what does the Dation to Shamala do at that point?
What?
You do vidui gadol, so you go upstairs with a clean slate. What do you do?
If you actually get to say vidui gadol. Vidui gadol is like 5 pages long.
It is
right? And when you're on your deathbed, halavai, you should actually have that, you know, willpower and clarity of thought to actually get through all of Vida Agadol.
My sister's in the honor suggestion or something like this.
I'm saying, I know people that did also, you know, but it's very rare that someone should actually get through all of Vida Agadol before they die.
If you say it a lot, all your sins go away.
If you mean it. It's like with every tshuva, if you mean it. It's not just a matter of just reading the words, don't do it. But anyways, so when a person does Achnas is Orachim, and a person elevates his status in the world, because now, before, I was one of God's creations. Now, I'm not only God's creation, but now I'm God's partner. I'm a shutef with the Borei Olam. I'm partners with God. So now all my averus get forgiven, because I've taken on more responsibility in myself, with myself. There's a very famous Rav Shimon Shkup in Shari Yosha. Rav Shimon Shkup, you guys don't know who he is, but okay. Not such a big deal being anywhere. Rav Shimon Shkup wrote a sefer called Shari Yosha, and it's like Dhamma. He brought down a famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says it was such a famous song they made it into a Mishnah. Im Einan Ili Mili. You guys know what that means?
I'm not for myself.
Im Einan Ili Mili.
I'm not for myself.
If I am not for myself, then who is for me? Vimanila Atzmi Mani. But if I am for myself, then I am nobody. Seems like a big contradiction a little bit, right? Which one is it? Should I be for myself or should I not be for myself?
Oh.
What?
It's a blend.
It's a blend.
Meaning that if you're a self-centered person, like the second phrase in the song Mishnah.
But it just said that if nobody's going to be for me, then I need to be for
that
me.
You have to, at some point, like...
But what's the point? So Shimon Shkup says an unbelievable shot. Okay? The word ani means I, right? I, capital I. Mm-hmm. How many people do you associate with that I?
One. Two. Me and Hashem.
You and Hashem. No, how many people do you associate with your eye? That's a you, yourself? Every person at different stages in their life, they actually start to associate more people when they think about I. Right? When you get married, it's you and your wife. When you have children, your children get in also. Right? Your I, your capital I, is ever expanding. It's ever expanding, right? Maybe when you're younger, you have your parents involved. Maybe your siblings, if you get along with them most of the time, they didn't steal your G.I. Joes or Power Rangers. Right?
Which they do.
Your eye is ever expanding. So Shimon says that that's exactly what the Mishnah means. In ain an ili mili. If I am not for my eye, who's going to be for me? Who's going to be for them? However, if imanila atmi, if my eye, my capital I, is only pointed at myself, then mon, then what am I? The tachlis, the purpose of a Jew in life, is to have an ever-expanding eye. Constantly include more and more people in that eye. Your eye can include your family, you can include your community, your talmidim, your friends. Whatever it is, a person has to think bigger than himself. He has to include more people in that eye. And that's the tachlis of a yid. And that's exactly what the Gemara means. The Gemara says, you want to know, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore. We don't have a Mizbeach. So how do you get kapara? You get a kapara by becoming a shutuf with the Borei Olam. By becoming connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how do you do that? By doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you act like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you become a shutuf with it.